Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, March 4th, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 7, second paragraph. It relieved me somewhat to learn, reading through that one paragraph ending with, this was the R. Karen W. for the 12 steps, Bonnie B. for the 12 traditions, Tamara C. will be reading the text, and Marge O. will be reading page 164. Our newcomer greeter will be Loretta M., and our second hour host will be Maria F. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, March 3rd, 8:30 a.m. special edition meeting is 21,188. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Karen W., a recovered compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen. I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for your service this morning. This is Bonnie B. I'm from Florida. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living today in recovery by the grace of God. The 12 traditions, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, decline outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to serve, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Bonnie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Bill's Story on page 7, the second paragraph, which begins with, "It relieved me somewhat to learn," and ends with, "This was the answer, self-knowledge." And we will be commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Tamara C. to begin reading.
Good morning, Crystal. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., a recovered in Missouri. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. I went to town regularly and even made a little money. Surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. That's a funny expression, the goose hung high. And I thought I had the general idea, like, you know, things are going well. But I looked it up and see that the old idea is that there has been evil and the evil has passed and all is well again. So basically, you know, everything is looking up. So for me, the goose hung high when I first came to OA and things got so much better. My behavior was explained and I was relieved to learn that, oh, I have a disease. I'm not a bad person. I just have a disease. And so I felt like, ah, surely this is the answer. And I really embraced the OA program. I jumped in and I did all the things that I thought I needed to do, but I was really working the Tamara program. I just, you know, I didn't understand, but everything was looking up. I lost weight. I stopped eating a lot of my alcoholic foods. I thought I was abstinent. And but it turned out for me that all this self-reliance in the Tamara show, even the phone calls and the meetings and the literature and working with my sponsor and trying to do the steps by, you know, I was writing out long answers to all the questions in the workbook and all of this, emailing my food, planning my food, turned out to not be the answer for me because it didn't treat my spiritual malady. I wasn't really understanding how to do the steps as a way of turning to a higher power. So it didn't bring about the necessary change in my thinking, in my way of responding to my feelings and to relationships and to life. So, you know, I could only hold my breath for so long. So, of course, the day finally came when this self-knowledge and this white-knuckle abstinence, it just wasn't enough and it failed me. And so I had to find out the hard and painful way that I needed something greater than myself. And Bill is getting there, and I eventually got there to see that, Tamara, there's just nothing in you that's going to get this. You've got to have some help from something outside of you. And so stay tuned. Coming up is when Bill finally found the real solution. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks so much for getting us started, Tamara. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday last week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when you're at 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share as best you can. Who would like to share today?
Fran V. Loretta H.
Gabrielle.
Erin K.
Okay, so far I have Fran V, Loretta H. I think I heard a Debbie, and was it Karen or Erin?
Tamika L.
It was Erin K with an E.
Thank you, Erin, and I heard Tamika L. Anybody that I
missed?
Sorry, I heard a couple of names, but I didn't catch any of them.
Stephanie R.
All right, let's stop there. So far, I've got Fran V, Loretta H, Debbie, Erin K, Tamika L, Stephanie R, and Susan G. I apologize if I missed you, and I'll catch you on the next round. So, when you start sharing, please give me your first name and the initial of your last name, and the location where you when you share, so we can find you on the member list. Please press star 1 to mute your line, and we can get started with Fran V, followed by Loretta H. Go ahead, Fran. Fran, press star 1 to unmute.
Okay. Hi, Fran V, recovered compulsive eater in Florida. And thank you for your service, first of all. Yeah, knowledge certainly was not the answer for me. It had to come from a power greater than myself. I knew that once I took that first compulsive bite, a million were going to follow it. But I would have a little amnesia. I really didn't want the consequences that went with that. And I could eat anything compulsively, safe foods, non-safe foods. So if one bite is going to cause a million, why take that first bite? And so I was told in the big book that it is a mind and a body thing, but it's more of a mind thing. I get this mental blank spot, this faulty wiring that does give me a little bit of amnesia. And I just do it. I can't help but do it. But it's not hopeless. It's seemingly hopeless. And once I work with my recovered sponsor and I get this spiritual awakening through working the 12 steps, I don't fight the food. I don't have to be tempted. I don't have to get all the food out of the house. An Eskimo could go to Iceland and somebody might show up with a bottle is what they were told. You know, that we will always, our mind will always take us back. And it doesn't matter how much knowledge we have. It certainly is not the answer for me and not for the chronic compulsive eater. Maybe for the moderate or the hard, but certainly not for me. Knowledge was, you know, some very intelligent people here, and maybe we have willpower in a lot of other areas, but in this area zero. I need a higher power. I need the grace of God and the power that comes from my higher power through working the steps. And then I don't have to fight it. I don't have to white knuckle it. I don't have to hang on by the skin of my teeth. Something happens. They call it a miracle. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, friend V from Florida. Next, we have Loretta H., followed by Debbie.
Good morning, Crystal. And good morning. It's so nice to hear your voice. And all of you, you are saving my life along with my precious God, Loretta H., and I live in North Carolina. I love this, the goose hung high as I'm hanging myself, you know, with my perpetual perceptions. And, you know, right before we get into the promises, it says, we feel a man unthinking when he says sobriety is enough. Ma, the wind stopped blowing. And I came into OA in the 80s, and I was so abstinent, you could squeeze me because I got very anorexic, and you could actually break my bones because all I had was a food plan. And today, and this is just for me, I consider my abstinence spiritual and my food plan a tool. And I do still text my food after 22 plus years. But that, just being abstinent is not always being well, because I have this soul sickness. And it says in the definition of abstinence that the 12 steps, and when we get to the awakening, we practice the principles in all our affairs. And that's where I need my neutrality. That's where I need my conscious contact with God, because the solution was the food. But today, the solution has to be God, and it has to be, I cannot stay abstinent without neutrality in all my affairs. And that's where the steps come in. That's where the work comes in. I am at the moment going through a new step study, because every time my proteges go through, I go through with them. And I'm still finding character defenses that are still hurting others and hurting me. And so, again, I'm so privileged to have this program to look at myself, see who God wants me to be, find God, and find myself in the work. And so today, my abstinence, and it has to be, is spiritual, and my food plan has to be a tool, because if I just use my food plan, I will get sicker. And that's my story and nobody else's. And so my propaganda and my perpetual perceptions need to be eradicated with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, so that I don't go out in the world and commit suicide and homicide. And with that, I pass this program works to all the newcomers. Please come back. Please work it. It'll save your life and others around you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Loretta H. Next, we have Debbie, followed by Aaron K. Debbie, could you give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from? Did I hear a Debbie? All right, maybe not. So let's go to Aaron K, followed by Vanita L, not Tamika. Sorry, Vanita. Go ahead, Aaron.
Good morning, Crystal. This is Aaron K, recovered in Michigan. Self-knowledge. So it just immediately made me think of another line in the book, which is self-knowledge avails me nothing. And avails is this weird word we don't really use that much, but it means to be of use, to advantage. And, you know, it is self-knowledge, actually, it's not an advantage because there's too much self in it. You know, it's necessarily self-limited because, you know, the thing is, I can bring all of my knowledge, like all the content of what I know about compulsive overeating, the disease of addiction, my own personal history. I spent a lot of time like spinning my wheels and program increasing that knowledge. But the problem is it wasn't enough because I needed a change in the way that I thought, not a change in the amount of self-knowledge that I had. It's like the, you know, constantly asking why do I do this? It's not the question to ask. It's understanding the why or the explanation for, you know, as Bill says, the incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop. The why do I keep hurting myself? It doesn't avail me of the how. You know, how do I stop? I surrender. It doesn't, you know, the why doesn't avail me of the what do I need to do to get better, which is working the steps. And who do I trust and rely on going forward, if not myself, with all my self-knowledge? And we all come to the answer to that last one in our own way, but it's a higher power. And for me, I just shorthand is God. So, yeah, this is a good one this morning. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Crystal, again for your service.
Thank you, Erin K. from Michigan. Next, we have Vanita L., followed by Stephanie R.
Hi, this is Vanita L. from Georgia. Good morning, everybody. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and super grateful for the program. Yeah, you know, I started out with self-knowledge when I was young in my 20s and really did deep regression work and all sorts of things. And I can't say they weren't helpful, but I was always looking still for that kind of quick fix. Just like I went to these different, you know, like try acupuncture on my ears or fenfen or whatever. Actually, fenfen worked the best, but it was damaging. I guess it could have damaged my heart. Maybe it did. But anyway, the going for these quick fixes and going for these highs, you know, these really sort of cathartic, dramatic releases. And I wouldn't say those things didn't help, but yeah, it wasn't till I got into 12 steps, which was first one was when I was about early 30s, that, you know, I started really working these just real basic spiritual principles, foundational spiritual principles. And that's when things started changing. And they really didn't start changing because I thought, oh, you know, I'd go to one meeting a week. And it wasn't until I embraced this thing years and years later, more as a way of life, that I really started to get more profound transformation in my life. So thank you.
Thank you, Vanita L. from Georgia. Next, we have Stephanie R., followed by Susan G.
Hi, this is Stephanie R., calling from Missouri. I truly related to this paragraph. I remember when I came into OA, I came in the 80s and didn't stay because I chose not to do the steps or use the tools. I just thought that I had a problem and this was where I was going to get the solution, but I wanted to do it my way, and so I left. And I didn't come back until about 2017, and it was a beautiful thing, you know. They said, all you have to do, Stephanie, is be abstinent. And that's all I heard, is be abstinent and three meals a day and life in between. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this program is not only simple, but it's easy. I can do three meals a day, life in between. Well, that lasted for about 6 months, and I just, you know, I wasn't doing a program. I was just being abstinent. And when I found the beauty of recovery through a spiritual program, that's what I knew, that my abstinence, yes, helps me the craziness out of my life, but it's only my connection with my God that I can really understand what recovery is. And recovery is such a spiritual experience for me. And I'm so very grateful to say that I get up in the morning and I have my prayer and meditation. I really connect with my higher power. And my life is delighty. it still goes up and down and things get crazy, but I do have this connection with a power greater than myself, and I use the tools of the program of abstinence, of being a sponsor, being a good sponsee, I pray, and listening to others, because that's how I really understand what my recovery means for me today. So that's all I wanted to share today, and thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Stephanie. Can you let us know where you're calling from? Stephanie, are you able to let us know where you're calling from?
Sorry, calling from Missouri.
Thank you, Stephanie. All right, next we have G, and then I'll be taking another set of names.
Good morning. This is Susan G. I'm in Tennessee. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, Crystal, and service and the whole team. Love to share so far this morning. So, Bill is still trying. He's still trying. After all these experiences, after being told he was seriously ill, mind and body, and as this disease progresses still. And for me, knowledge equals power. I could talk my way out of anything. And I had this disease of more knowledge, more power. And this disease of perception, as others have talked about, this preconceived notion that I know. And I don't know. I don't know was never in my part of my vocabulary. Even when I was in program, I learned quickly. I could quote the big book and had recovered. I could recover for a while, so I thought. Well, that was just really that white-knuckled abstinence. And the last time I white-knuckled for almost 3 years, and what I was actually doing was controlling what I was eating. I didn't have freedom, but it was listening to Vision, regularly attending, and I asked someone to sponsor me. And for the first time in almost, 20 years, I said, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know. But I don't have any ideas. And that's where I knew a real knowledge, working knowledge of surrender. And I gave up and I just shut up and I listened and lowered myself. And my goose was hanging low, I assure you. And so what has happened is that I've recovered. I had a new experience with power and the steps. And, today, my spiritual awakening is that power simply opens the path as my day unfolds, and I'm free. I'm free walking in peace. And, oh, my gosh, what a miracle. My higher power is gentle, not harsh. It doesn't have a death grip on me. It's loving and kind, and so I try to mimic that and imitate that in my daily encounters and connections with others. And so today I'm spiritually awake, and I have stopped trying, and I'm taking action. Not perfect, as everyone says, but definitely walking in a new space and time, in a new dimension. And I'm going to pass, and I can't wait to hear what everybody else has to share. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Susan G. from Tennessee. Before we continue, let me remind everyone where we are at. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 7, the second paragraph. It relieved me somewhat to learn, reading through that one paragraph ending with, this was the answer, self-knowledge, and we are commenting on that one paragraph. I'll now take another set of names, so if you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Janice. Yes. Mary F.
Pedro B.
So far, I've got Janice S., Mary F., and Pedro B. Anybody else like to share?
Miriam J.
I heard Miriam J. There was another person who spoke up.
Maria E.
Okay, so I've got Janice, Mary, Pedro, Miriam, Maria. Anybody else? I can take a few more names. All right, let's stop there then. So we've got Janice S, Maria F, Pedro B, Miriam J, and Maria E. So if I can ask everybody to please press star 1 to mute your line, and we'll get started with Janice S, followed by Mary F. Morning, Janice.
Please good
morning. Let us know where you're from.
Yes, I sure will. I'm Janice S, like Sunshine, and I'm from Tennessee. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. This paragraph, I kind of have a different perspective on it, I think. For me, this paragraph was kind of like an aha moment as part of my recovery. It was like stepping into the world of addiction. How do I mean it? I mean that like, now I understand, it took away some of the guilt of the beating myself up. I mean, I could put on my resume that I'm a professional dieter because there was absolutely nothing that I hadn't tried over and over and over. I have lost so much weight in my lifetime only to put it back on like so many others. This was like accepting that I have a disease. There is I came to OA through another program, and it's a program where people automatically, like, you know, if I tell a person I can't drink, they go, oh, I'm an alcoholic, I don't drink. Okay, that's fine. But if I tell a person I can't eat a piece of cake, that's another whole ball game. Oh, you can have a little piece. They don't understand it. No, I can't. It's the same concept. I cannot have a piece of cake just like I cannot have a drink of alcohol. Because for me, it's an addiction. Now, that doesn't mean, it's just like if recently, all right, here's a good analogy. Recently, right around the holidays, I started having a significant pain, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. Trying to figure out what it was on my own, thinking it would go away. It didn't go away. Finally went to my regular doctor. Then it didn't help. I go back to my regular doctor. He sends me to an orthopedic doctor. An orthopedic doctor then sends me to get tests. And then, you know, I go through this whole process eventually to find out what the problem was, and then I had to have surgery. Now, learning all that information didn't make the pain go away, but I had the knowledge, okay, now I know that I wasn't making it up, that it wasn't just in my head, and that it wasn't just going to go away. I had the knowledge that I had a torn rotator cuff, and it had to be fixed. So knowledge is power, or it took away that. Is it in my head? Am I guilty? With my overeating. Okay. It was a piece of my puzzle that took away the guilt, and it just was the first step in an amazing, amazing way to learn about my overeating. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Janice. Next, we have Mary F. Mary Star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Mary F. from Michigan. And I can totally relate to Bill in this story of thinking that I've got this figured out and it's going to be fine. And I started in this program in 2020, lost a lot of weight, got down to a healthy BMI, was very good for a year. or longer, and then the disease keeps creeping in and saying, oh, you're not that bad, don't worry about it. Just, you know, maybe you've overshot this, but it's insidious. And today I'm back as if I am a brand new person. I'm trying to define my higher power, and with that, I'll pass. I just wanted to claim my seat and let you know that I exist. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mary F. from Michigan. Next, we have Pedro B., followed by Miriam J. Go ahead, Pedro.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks for your service. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. If you're new, welcome. My name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. I'm very happy to be here this morning. It's been a while since I've been at this meeting. And I am a compulsive overeater, and I am powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable. Self-knowledge, it relieved me somewhat to learn. You know, it's been easy for me to say, yeah, I'm a compulsive overeater. But the fact is that when I get to that crucial moment that I get to, and I don't know that I'm at the crucial moment, and I start overeating at that crucial moment, instead of calling somebody, I say, hey, I feel like eating. I know, you know, my mind gives me permission to go ahead. So it's been the most difficult thing in my life to stay stopped from overeating, you know. But anyways, I'm very excited about today. I feel pretty confident that I can stay, you know, abstinent. You know, can I relate to Bill? Definitely. My behavior, my incredible behavior in the face of desperate desire to stop. You know, one of the things that helps me a lot is replacing the word, you know, alcoholics with overeaters, and then, you know, reading it. It fits perfectly. It's especially step one, that it seems that I need to be on step one every single day. I fare both in high hope, understanding myself now. You know, oh yeah, I know. Come on. But then that crucial moment shows up. So I'm very ill. I have a chronic illness, and my mind tells me that I'm not. No, you're fine. No, you can. What do you mean powerless? You can control and enjoy. You got this down, you know. But anyways, I just want to say I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that, you know, I am determined to, no matter what today, don't pick up my alcoholic foods and don't overeat, hopefully. You know, it's early. You know, I only have to go till midnight tonight. That's all. You know, I plan to have 3 meals and 2 snacks. And if I make it, I'm 100% successful in Overeaters Anonymous for this day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Pedro B. from California. Next, we have Miriam J., followed by Maria E., and then I'll take another few names. Morning, Miriam.
Good morning. This is Miriam J. from Massachusetts. Thanks for your service. It's nice to hear your voice. Okay, self-knowledge. In recovery, I have learned that I have basically lived my life in my head. You know, I'm one of these people that likes to analyze and research and figure it out. And that has served me very well in my life, but it did not serve me well in my recovery, because time and time again, okay, so I got the right food plan. I've got this now. You know, as long as I had the information, I thought I could do this. Couldn't. That's not the road to recovery. And so, you know, I can really identify with Bill. You know, things were really bad, and all of a sudden he got the answer, and now he knows. Surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. If I know what my problem is, I can solve it. And I've thought that in different forms over and over and over again. And I am really, really grateful today that I know what the problem is, I know what the solution is, but I can't do that alone. I have to have a power greater than myself, I call that power God, to help me with this medical disease. And it's good to know that, but it's also really important for me to know that just knowing it isn't going to solve it. I have to do what I have to do, and I have to let God do what God can do. And it's taken me a very long time to figure that out because, as I said, I liked living in my head. I had fantasies. I had information. I had all kinds of things, but it just didn't work. So I'm grateful to be here today. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Miriam J. from Massachusetts. And now we have Maria E.
Good morning,
Maria.
Can you hear me? Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Maria E., a grateful recovering compulsive eater on the Cape, although I think the list may show me in Connecticut. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you, Tamara, for your kickoff share and for all the shares. It's been fabulous. I have to say, you know, I don't always get to this meeting and I haven't shared in a very long time, but for the last couple of weeks in Bill's story, I've just been gobbling it up. It's been so fabulous. And as has been shared many times, you know, Bill drank like I ate, and I had the same episodic control followed by relapse in my illness and, you know, then the frothy emotional appeal and then swearing off. And then here we are again, you know, oh, in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it remains strong in other respects. I could not figure out in my case, what was the problem, you know, and throughout this story, and in particular in this paragraph, I have the real echoes of the chapter More About Alcoholism. You know, that idea that self-knowledge would fix it. All went well for a time. Suddenly, the thought crossed my mind, all that craziness that, you know, what hasn't been reflected is that I have a mind that tells me I can pick up. And that's where the problem is. I can recognize the allergy, but at the end of the day, it's not going to matter if I don't address this with a spiritual solution. So I just really love this. And, you know, that whole understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. That was me in the illness. I would lose the weight. Of course, now I'll never gain it back. Now everything's fine. But the truth is, it wasn't fine. And it would never be fine until I came into the rooms and found the basic and simple approach that this book offers. So I'm very grateful today that I don't have to kill myself with food. I'm so grateful for this meeting, and I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Maria E. from the Cape or Connecticut. I can still take another four names. So if you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Betsy M. in South Carolina.
Patty O. in Florida.
Sharon B. in Michigan.
Okay, so I have Betsy M., Patty O., and Sharon B. I can take one more name if anyone would like to share. All right, let's go with that list then. If I can ask everybody to press star 1 to mute your line, we'll get started with Betsy M., followed by Patty O. Go ahead, Betsy. Betsy, star 1 to unmute, please.
Oh, thank you, Crystal, for leading the meeting. My name is Betsy M. I'm a compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I've been listening to this meeting for many, many years. And I have to tell you, this morning I felt the urge to share, which I generally don't. But I just wanted to say I am so grateful that I, because of this meeting, this pr- program OA. I finally realized that I cannot solve my problems, and I'm so grateful that a power than myself has come into my life and is helping me to live my life to my fullest. And I apologize if I'm a little nervous, but I don't usually share, but I just felt the urge to say I'm so grateful for a power greater than myself, so I no longer have to struggle. Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, Betsy M. from South Carolina. Next, we have Patty O. from Florida, followed by Sharon B.
Morning, everybody. My name is Patty O., and I live in Florida. And I, too, am very nervous to share. But like the big book says, I'm trying to create the fellowship I crave, because that is part of my solution. So the reading that we just did, in decades seeking relief from my food addiction. And I have gone everywhere, done everything, including bariatric surgery, looking for that solution. And none of them worked. None of them worked. And I've been decades in 12-step programs, including Vision, trying to get on top of this thing. And so I went to thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours in therapy to try to figure out why I kept hurting myself. And he helped me figure it out. I know why I ate. I know it was because of fear. And fat was safe for me. And it is a viable solution, but it's Patty's solution. And what I seem to have learned in the last 6 months is it's not my God solution. It's not my higher power solution. And I have to keep looking and tuning in every day to that power greater than myself. And this fellowship that's available to me every day of the week. And so that's what I'm doing. And I'll tell you, I'm abstinent in about 6 months. I have never felt like this. I am free from the obsession. And there's some simple things my sponsor asked me to do. And I'm willing to do them because I really like what I have found in the last 6 months. 6 months ago, I didn't believe it would work, just like it hasn't worked for decades. And I'm just so glad that I stuck around and heard and believed and practiced. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Patty O. from Florida. And then we have Sharon B. from Michigan.
Yes. Hey, family. This is Sharon B. from Michigan. Grateful, recovered, not cured, compulsive eater. And thank you, everybody that shared and everybody doing service. Self-knowledge. When I read this, I also remember how much I'm like Bill. You know, did I do what Bill did? Did I think like Bill thought? Did I feel what Bill felt? Absolutely, 100,000% I could feel this because, like Bill, I had always been able to rely on myself, my self-knowledge, my good brain, my good thinking, my abilities to fix things, you know. Bill decided to play the violin and became first chair. He was going to, you know, Grandpa said, you can't make a boomerang. He made a boomerang. You know, all these things that he could do. And I was the same way, always could rely on myself. So once I found an answer to what the problem was, I knew I could fix it over and over and over again. And having been in a 12-step group for a period of time, when I realized that this was my problem, I knew that I had what I needed in order to fix it, not realizing that I couldn't really do a first and second step without another compulsive eater because I couldn't identify exactly what my addiction was to and what I needed to abstain from and how to abstain from that. I had no 1, 2, or 12 in there. So, you know, on page 39 it says, but the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. And that was me. You know, I was absolutely unable to stop eating compulsively on the basis of self-knowledge. I knew all this stuff. I even knew the steps, but I didn't have a way to apply them. I didn't have people to apply them with. I didn't have that first step, you know, really thoroughly, you know. And also it says, you know, we talk about our friend Fred, and he thought that self-knowledge would fix it. It didn't work. It didn't work for me. I had to have, just like when I have something on my face, I have to have a mirror to see it clearly. There had to be other people involved for me to be able to truly see this so that I could find the answer. And there had to be other people who could lead me through the dark forest who'd been there so that I could take the steps that I loved so much and apply them to this specific problem. And I'm grateful for this and for the study. And with that, Sharon B. from Michigan, thank you, family, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Sharon B. from Michigan. We have time for one more share. Who would like
Christina.
To take that? Hi, Christina. Hi,
Christina.
Right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your service. You know, step one, I'm powerless over food. Allergy. Put the food down. The allergy goes away. But my life is unmanageable. How am I going to fix that? Knowledge is not power to fix my life. I can figure out things that I'm eating over. I can have those really emotional, uncomfortable moments where, you know, food has been the solution all my life. And so I go back to it. I trigger the allergy and the cycle goes on again. Knowledge is not power. It can be part of the power. You know, it's good to have knowledge. It's good to know how to seek something bigger than ourselves that will help us navigate life on life's terms. Nobody gets out for free. I can't speak for everybody else, but I certainly have not gotten out for free. I am not getting out for free. I have experienced so many painful situations, and I went back to the food. And I've experienced so many painful situations, I've gone to God. And then I put that knowledge down, and that wisdom that I feel in my morning prayer and meditation, I quit running to that solution for the disease of my life, and the food was the easier answer. Knowledge all around fixes nothing. And as we'll find out, I've got to cultivate that thing in my heart, that higher power, that thing that makes my blood flow, helps me breathe. Is the miracle of a weed flower and floating clouds. I can't answer any of those questions. Where did this stuff come from? And neither can the scientists. They can give general knowledge about it. But where does it come from? So when I think of this great, majestic, mystical thing, you know, I have to bow my head and say, please, let me see your glory in my life. Help me to get through these hard times so I can be of service to others. So knowledge of God is not power. Opening the door to the heart and breathing that in, helping us get through the hard times. The allergy is a B-I-T-C-H. Getting through those several days, putting it down again. You know, you get to the point where you don't want to do it anymore. But no knowledge helps me do that. The knowledge of my food plan, I guess, helps me do that. I must stick to the food plan. But I've got to start cultivating that walk towards something bigger. Even in the beginning, even when I maybe don't believe in a God, it's something bigger than myself out there that's going to reach out and grab my hand. And for me, that was my fellows in the beginning, my sponsor. What I found in this book, which was amazing, a program of action to take me to something that would save my life and my ass in those hard times, which I'm facing right now. Every day it seems to be something, right? So anyway, knowledge is not power, and it's not the foundation of my life. It can be part of it, But I've got to cultivate that bigger thing, that bigger walk, that deeper connection. And it's so sweet when you taste it. It's not there all the time. But if we keep working towards it,
time, please.
We get glimpses of it. And we get little bubbles of light in our heart. Thank you for letting me share my pass.
Thanks so much, Christina J. Christina, where are you calling from?
North Carolina.
Christina. Oh, thanks, Christina. Okay, great. And I think I heard an Alec B. Sorry, Alec. That's all the time we have for sharing. Hopefully you can stick around and share in the next hour. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, March 4th, 2024, is 21,190,21190. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Marge O. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, through to keep you until then.
Yes, good morning. Marge O., recovered in Walpole, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.